Welcome back to hour number two of the Mike Malloy program. 6 minutes after the hour, Brad Friedman of bradblog.com, your friendly investigative citizen journalist, troublemaker, muckraker from bradblog.com, and all-around swell fellow, broadcasting live from Los Angeles tonight as the Malloys are out and about on the Caribbean. They're having fun. They're just goofing off. Actually, they're... Oh, there we... Yeah, there we go. There. That's right. They're living it up. It's rum and Coca-Cola, and they're just having fun while we're here broadcasting. Delighted to be here. Actually, they're not having that much fun because they're on the cruise with a bunch of progressives, and they're working. They're actually talking about progressive things and ideas with folks like Bobby Kennedy and Kerry Harrison and Hal Sparks, and a bunch of good folks are on that cruise. And, of course, I'm being nice just because... Yes, I'm bitter they didn't invite me, but I better be invited next year. That's all I'm saying. Okay, we're going to be joined in a minute or two by Ernest Canning to talk about, well, corporate personhood and even military foreign aid. I'll get to that in a moment, but a couple of pieces of business here. Okay, you can, let's see, our phone number tonight is 877-520-1150. That's 877-520-1150. 520-1150, write it down, and if you'd like to get in on this conversation, we'd love to hear from you. And let's see, where's the other business? Here we go. Yeah, we were talking in the last hour with Bob Edgar of Common Cause about these 20 years of Clarence Thomas flaunting the law, basically, by not reporting hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars that he received, that his wife received from right-wing organizations, as Justice Thomas was sitting on the Supreme Court cases that would affect those right-wing organizations and the amount of money that they could receive. Now, Bill of Rights Man has asked in the bradblog.com chat room, which I hope you will stop by and jump into the chat there. Bill of Rights Man wants to know if Thomas, who corrected once the story came out quickly, got special treatment, according to my reporting at Bradblog anyway, got special treatment on a Saturday to amend his forms for the last 20 years, which include his nomination forms in 1991 that he also falsified. So Bill of Rights Man wonders if Thomas has to pay back taxes on these items that he didn't disclose. Well, no, he doesn't, because they weren't taxes. These were the financial disclosure forms that judges must fill out, all members of the judiciary, as I understand it, not just the Supreme Court, but all members of the judiciary need to fill them out and show where they get their money from, where their wife gets money from, so that when people come before the court, they can know if there is a potential conflict of interest and ask for the judge to recuse him or herself. Well, that couldn't happen here, because if you just went by Clarence Thomas's forms, you wouldn't know that his wife was working for this right-wing outfit, this Heritage Foundation, and Liberty Central, this Tea Party group that she formed. And now she's working as a, she claims she's working as a lobbyist, though, as Bob Edgar told us, she had not registered yet as a lobbyist. So, go figure. But anyway, so no back taxes, but it is a crime, as I spelled out in the first hour, and as I spelled out over at Brad Blog, you can look it up. And Justice Thomas should have known better, and what really is ticking me off is the fact that the media is not reporting it. They are just not covering the issue. They're not covering the criminal side of this issue, as I suspect they certainly would had the case been a Democratic nominee. Because the right-wing media would be out there banging on this and banging on this and forcing someone, whether it's the House Judiciary Committee or the DOJ or the media itself, to actually investigate. So as long as someone is foolish enough to put a microphone in front of my face, I am going to call for accountability. I'm going to use our public airwaves to demand accountability, whether it comes or not. I'm doing my job. I hope you will do yours. And to that end, I've got an item at the very top of bradblog.com right now that links over to Alternet, who did their job. Nancy Goldstein over there today wrote an article, Why Does Clarence Thomas Get Away with Breaking the Law as His Wife Shills for Wealthy Right-Wingers? I'm linking over to that, but I also include several links within the article to a Common Cause petition, a letter to the DOJ to have them look into the issue as far as vacating the Citizens United case due to conflicts of interest disclosed or otherwise by Clarence Thomas and Antonin Scalia, both of whom met with these groups secretly, incredibly, but they did it. Click on that letter. Also, a couple of links to protectourelections.org. And you can just go on over there, protectourelections.org, which, by way of disclosure, since I believe in disclosure, is a campaign set up by velvetrevolution.us, a group that that the Brad blog helped to found. We have a couple of links there to petitions calling on Eric Holder and the DOJ to bring criminal charges against Clarence Thomas for 20 years of falsifying his disclosure forms. If people in Egypt can stand up against the possibility of torture and death, trying to get justice, the least you could do is click on an internet petition. Pretty please? Go to protectourelections.org, go to commoncause.org, go to Bradblog. If you want accountability, you need to stand up and demand it. They ain't going to give it to you because these are real bad guys out there. But if we want it, we can do something about it, but we need to start raising some hell. Okay, speaking of raising hell, I'll just put this out here. Here was someone who said this. Who do you suppose said this? And by the way, we're going to be joined with Ernest Canning, attorney. He's going to tell us who said this in a minute. But let me put it out there to you. This is a quote. Corporations have been enthroned, and an era of corruption in high places will follow. And the money power of the country will endeavor to prolong its reign by working upon the prejudices of the people until all wealth is aggregated in a few hands and the public is destroyed. That after corporations have been enthroned. Who do you suppose said that? And when did they say it? We'll find out right now. Joining me is Ernest Canning, an active member of the California State Bar since 1977. He has received both undergraduate and graduate degrees in political science, as well as a Juris Doctor. He's a Vietnam vet, and most prestigiously, he is the legal affairs analyst at bradblog.com. He joins us now to tell us who said that and much more. Hey, Ernie, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Hi, Brad. How are you?
I'm very good. All right. Well, you found this quote. Corporations have been enthroned.
I got to make a correction to
it. Yeah, all right. Yeah, why is that?
Because it isn't until, and the public is destroyed, it's the republic is destroyed.
The correction is mine. I misread it there. So I'll read it again. Corporations have been enthroned, and an era of corruption in high places will follow, and the money power of the country will endeavor to prolong its reign by working upon the prejudices of the people until all wealth is aggregated in a few hands, and the republic, there we go, is destroyed. That's a very serious charge, a very scary. I'm guessing this must be who? Dennis Kucinich? Ron Paul?
Obviously some commie pinko. And if you recall, Brad, when I first read it to you, I was asking you to guess which president of the United States gave that, and we kept backing up and backing up. But the amazing thing is, because it tells us how long this problem has been with us in this country, is that the guy who said that was President Abraham Lincoln, and he said it in 1864.
Which it was just amazing when I heard that, that there was Lincoln warning about corporations. I don't know, Ernie, if you heard when I opened the show by announcing that Abraham Lincoln was a socialist because he formed the Transcontinental Railroad, as Vice President Biden pointed out today. So he was a socialist, and apparently he hates corporation. He hates business, or as they now call them, he hated job creators, I guess.
Well, you know, the interesting thing in this, Brad, and it kind of ties in with the article that I have that you posted today at the Brad blog. Thank you. But Kevin Phillips, an historian, wrote in Wealth and Democracy, and he talks about how it's the period after Lincoln dies, after 1865, is what we call the first Gilded Age.
Mm-hmm.
And you really have to look at this stuff historically to really understand what's going on. And he talks about that where they have all this laissez-faire myth about, you know, how these people make their money in the markets and all this stuff, that he says corporations and railroads took their favors, enormous ones that helped produce the world's biggest fortunes, by all but seizing key portions of the federal and state government. And what they did during that time, in addition to seizing the governments, was they packed the courts with business-friendly people. And that's how you got to this corporate personhood in a decision that came down in 1888.
That sounds terribly familiar. All right, we got to take a quick break here. We're speaking with Ernest A. Canning, attorney and legal affairs analyst at bradblog.com. I am Brad from that same blog, and we're going to be back with much more on this and a look at the scam that is, frankly, military foreign aid, more U.S. corporate welfare, I'm afraid. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy tonight and all week long. Glad you could join us. Please stay with us. Much more ahead.
Butterflies and sabers and moonbeams and fairy tales. That's all she ever needs.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief.
We'll try to give you some relief. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com, in for Mike Malloy, 23 minutes after the hour. Speaking with attorney Ernest Canning about a number of things, amongst them his article today at BradBlog, asking, is corporate personhood even valid under the existing Constitution, frankly? This question came up for yet another test in this Citizens United decision last year, this horrific Citizens United decision. Now people are trying to figure out what to do to it, pushing for constitutional amendments, but getting anything to happen in this country with this media that we have that is owned by the very corporations who would be hurt by a finding that, in fact, corporations are not people. All right, Ernie, so you quoted Abraham Lincoln warning about corporations. What's that?
It was great to hear a little Bob Dylan in between.
There you go. See, we aim to please. Tony, another kudos for you, sir. We talked about corporations, Abraham Lincoln warning about corporations, and that the wealth would be aggregated into a few hands and the republic would be destroyed. Nobody listened, apparently. We went into the Gilded Age, and it really took, Teddy Roosevelt to come in and begin busting the trusts at the beginning of the 20th century before anything changed.
The biggest change, I think, really, and it was part of the problem, even when both Roosevelts were in, there was a problem with the courts, although it changed under FDR. But if you remember, you had the thing with the court-packing experience in the other direction, because FDR ran into so many things blocking the New Deal. What the courts did, and what the Supreme Court did all during that era in the late 19th century and into the early part of the 20th century, was that they tried to use with a concept called substantive due process to basically overturn all the state police powers that aren't designed to protect the welfare of its citizens in favor of corporate power. And that's really been the struggle all the way through, and what you have with the current Federalist Society is trying to go back to that. And where the corporate personhood came up, and it was actually, I said 1888, it's 1886.
Right.
When they decided it using the 14th Amendment Due Process Clause. And when they decided it, they used this cryptic reasoning where they just said, gee, all of us think it applies, so we don't even want to hear argument on it. And what happens is that basically goes unchallenged until 1938, when Justice Hugo Black writes a dissenting opinion where he just clearly says, hey, look at the language of the 14th Amendment. And then he's later joined in 1949 by Justice Douglas, and they're both saying the same thing. If you look at the language, these people that claim to be strict constructionists, but if you read the language, the first sentence of the 14th Amendment says, all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States. Well, they took that and said, well, born or naturalized, a corporation is not born or naturalized, so they're not a person within the meaning of the 14th Amendment.
Exactly. Which part of the word person do you not understand? And we're going to talk about what we can do about it. I got to get to a quick break. Speaking with Ernie Canning, attorney and Brad Blog contributor. We'll also get to your calls, I hope. 877-520-1150. If you're on the line right now, please hang on. We'll try to get to everybody here. And next hour, open lines, 877-520-1150. Brad in for Mike. A whole lot more show straight ahead. Bit of breaking news here tonight. The Patriot Act fails on the House floor. A plan to extend a couple of three controversial provisions of the Patriot Act. The plan to do it with little debate failed on Tuesday night as a group of Republicans joined a majority of Democrats in voting no. Yep, we're going to have more on that in the next hour. Good to see. Good to see. All right, I'll give you some more details on that in a bit. We're speaking with Ernest Canning, California attorney, and BradBlog.com's legal affairs analyst, and who wrote today, move to amend, but it's corporate personhood valid even under existing constitution? And Ernie, before the break, you had referred to Hugo Black in a 1938 case, a dissenting opinion, where he, as you describe him, a strict constructionist who had once said, and I quote, Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech or of the press. I read no law abridging to mean no law abridging. So he was pretty strict on that point, at least. He also wrote that I do not believe the word person is in the 14th Amendment to include corporations. This is similar to what Sandra Sotomayor said recently during the Citizens United case. She said that it was the courts who, quote, created corporations as persons, gave birth to corporations as persons, and that an argument could be made that that was the court's error to start with, imbuing a creature of state law with human characteristics. I would say so. And, Ernie, it seems that so many of the problems we seem to be facing today, which are just getting worse, all come back to this corporate personhood idea that allows these corporations to do any damn thing they want.
Well, in fact, I think what the difference is between what Lincoln warned as to the danger to the republic has become the danger to the world. And I think that what you're seeing in Egypt today is an extension of corporations becoming a corporate empire globally.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, I wrote another piece on that that deals with specifically empire and what we call military foreign aid, or actually foreign aid period. You know, the word foreign aid conjures up this idea that we're helping some poor starving people, but generally the aid is, as John Perkins reveals in his groundbreaking work as a former self-described economic hitman, and the other author that I quote, mm-hmm. William Hartung, was talking about specifically the military aid that we're pouring into Egypt. And what you really have is corporate welfare, and what they do is they rope these countries in to becoming extremely indebted. And the money that supposedly the foreign aid never leaves the United States. It goes from the IMF or the World Bank or some other banks to either major construction companies or to the military-industrial complex. And these people are raking in this money. In exchange, you see things everywhere from sophisticated weaponry to the tear gas that's being used on the demonstrators. And at least, you know, we're still making something in the United States because the tear gas cans have made in the U.S.
Unfortunately, yeah, that's what we're making. And that was, again, this part of this military foreign aid that, like you say, the money actually goes to U.S. corporations. It's more, as you called it, corporate welfare.
It is, and it's really just a small part of it, because when you start going into the military budget,
uh-huh.
and you look at how much of the world spends, the figures I had, I think this was from 2009, the world spent $1.531 trillion on the military, which was a 49% increase since 2000. And I noted that while
that's the world, right, Ernie? That's the entire world, okay?
0.5% of that is the United States direct military spending.
How much?
And then the 46.5% of the $1.531 trillion.
Okay, that's all done by the U.S. 45% of it. All right.
Yeah, 46.5%.
46.
And that doesn't count the monies that, you know, you may say, well, gee, Egypt spent $2 billion on the military. But if it turns out that 1.8 million is actually coming from the U.S. taxpayer, mm-hmm. to buy those weapons for this torture regime in Egypt, you see that our numbers are actually much higher than the 46.5%. And all this money is going to a few corporations to basically make a few people at the top of those corporations wealthy beyond your wildest imagination.
We're speaking with Ernie Canning, attorney and contributor at the Brad Blog. Our phone numbers are 877-520-1150. That's 877-520-1150. You want to take a quick call or two here, Ernie?
Sure.
All right, let's go to Mark in San Francisco. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir. What's on your mind?
Well, I think we need to impeach some Supreme Court judges.
Well, you think so? Why?
Well, basically, Roberts lied, said he wouldn't be an activist judge, and he should be impeached for that. I mean, Thomas, obviously, he should be convicted of his crime and be impeached.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, unless we can hold these people accountable for, you know, basically being activist judges and making decisions based on a political point of view, and not, you know, in what they were put up there for is to be a judge to, you know, be fair and do right by the country, and obviously they haven't. Thomas was also one of the ones that appointed George Bush and took our right to vote away.
Well, that's right. Mark, let me get Ernie's thoughts on this. I don't know if you heard the previous hour, Ernie, but we were talking about the crimes of Clarence Thomas. I don't know that you can impeach someone for being an activist judge when they said they wouldn't be, but it seems to me you could impeach them for committing the kind of crimes that Clarence Thomas has. But how do you get that past a now Republican U.S. House of Representatives?
Well, I don't think you're going to get it past the current House of Representatives, no matter what evidence you come up with.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't stop we, the people, from making accountability, not just impeachment of these judges, but accountability, which covers what you've been covering for the last few days.
Years. Make that years.
Subject of the 2012 election. And that if the current crop of quote-unquote leaders, which includes mm-hmm. the president and the attorney general, are unwilling to uphold the rule of law, then we need to seriously look at getting people who will uphold the rule of law. And ultimately, just like the Egyptians took to the street, we still have, I guess in some states, ballots.
Yeah. There are some.
Others, we have machines that we have no idea whether our votes are being counted.
That's right.
But, you know, where we do have a ballot, we should be exercising it intelligently, and we should be insisting that those who are supposed to represent us uphold the rule of law, which includes bringing an end to this corporate personhood.
Yeah.
Brad?
Yes, sir. Yes, Mark?
Yeah. What I wanted to add is also they've been openly involved with Republican Party, fundraising and everything else.
Right, yeah.
I mean, it's so outrageous. I mean, unless we can just stand up and scream, even if they won't impeach him, we should demand from these people that we're not going to put up with this. This is an outrage. This is a disgrace to our democracy that they're going to go ahead and be openly involved with the Republican Party and make decisions that are obviously based on political.
And you're referring back to these meetings that Scalia and Thomas have had with the Tea Party, with the Koch Industries, in their secret meetings. Well, Mark, what are you prepared to do about it, sir?
Well, I think we all need to get together as progressives and demand that these people resign, and resign because of the fact that they're openly biased.
Mm-hmm. And how do we do that? Are we going to hit the streets? Are we going to go to D.C.? Are we going to find our own Tutter Square and stay there until action is taken? Or are we just going to talk about it and move on and watch the Super Bowl, and that'll be that?
Well, I think that this is this cause right here would be the cause to basically go there and not leave till if we have to be removed.
I hear you, brother, and I wonder if anyone else hears you. I appreciate your call, Mark. Really do. Thanks a bunch for touching base here.
Okay. Keep up the fight, Brad.
Thank you, brother, and you. It gets obviously so disparaging at time because we see problem after problem after problem, and people, even when they did take action, even when they did do something about it, Ernie Canning, back in 2003, before the Iraq War, we had some of the largest demonstrations this country has ever seen, but the media didn't bother to report it. So if the media doesn't report it, it didn't really happen. So we see ourselves in this this catch 22. And now you're talking about, you pointed us to at Brad Blog today, to this effort in Vermont to have a constitutional amendment to essentially say that corporations are, surprise surprise, not people. Can such a constitutional amendment actually get anywhere, given the media landscape, given the political landscape, Ernie Canning?
Well, you know, that's an open question, but I think Vermont seems to be a step ahead of the rest of us at times, and they certainly have the right idea. The problem is that the particular method that they are moving forward with has never been done before. And the method involves getting two-thirds of the state legislatures to call on Congress to open up a national convention to propose the amendment. The other method would be to get two-thirds of both houses of Congress to propose the thing, but I think you're not going to have that happen. I mean, you can't even get from this current Congress you can't even get them to have full disclosure for people like, you know, like Koch Industries.
Yeah, and you can't get them to bring accountability when they find something that is so obviously a crime, certainly a crime enough. I have argued that I think the right wing would be going crazy had it been, you know, Elena Kagan failing to disclose hundreds of thousands of dollars she received from Planned Parenthood, or Sonia Sotomayor receiving hundreds of thousands of dollars from Acorn. Had they failed to disclose that, I think this would have been round the clock. You know, Fox News, Drudge Report, right wing, you know, calls for her to step down, calls for impeachment, calls for criminal charges to be brought. And in that case, they would be correct to have done so. But here it's Clarence Thomas, and it's, you know, nobody's even talking about it. No one other than me, you, Ernie, Nancy Goldstein today over at Alternet, and very, very few other folks. All right, hang with us, Ernie. We're going to get to some calls here, 877-520-1150. Ernest Canning is with us, taking calls on all of these matters. And then next hour, open lines, whatever is on your mind or on mine. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Stay with us.
Well, they took him and they beat him.
Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show, 52 minutes after the hour. Your calls coming up on anything you want to talk about in the next hour, 877-520-1150. We got some folks on the line, and we are joined by my guest, Brad Blog contributor Ernie Canning. I should say I am Brad, Brad Friedman of Brad Blog, in for Mike Malloy. Let's grab a few more. You know what? Let me, before I, where do I have, it here, Ernie? I just want to read this one more time because I think people need to hear it. This quote, this important quote, corporations have been enthroned and an era of corruption in high places will follow. And the money power of the country will endeavor to prolong its reign by working upon the prejudices of the people until all wealth is aggregated in a few hands and the republic is destroyed. No, that wasn't a Tea Party activist. That wasn't Ron Paul. That wasn't Dennis Kucinich. That was President Abraham Lincoln in 1864 offering a warning that we failed to listen to. Let's go to, oh, he left. Someone had a question about Glenn Greenwald. Well, we'll have to get back to them. Ernie, I'm going to go to a call here. AC in St. Petersburg. Hey, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, AC. What's on your mind, sir?
You guys are the greatest.
You're very kind.
So are you, sir. Ernie, specifically, here's what's wrong with corporate personhood and unlimited bribery, or if you want to call it campaign contributions from corporations. I was watching Fox this afternoon, and Neil Cabuto, the business guy, had the governor from Georgia on, and he's a Republican, and he's speaking for the 20 Republican governors, many of them that were elected this last cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And what they object to in Obamacare or Obama's health care plan and the implementation, here's what they object to. They don't like the mandated, designated benefits level, you know, like the complexity of what it covers and everything. And they want some flexibility. And the translation that I have when he says they want some flexibility on that level of mandated campaign benefits, you know, benefits, is what they want is they want to let the big insurance companies that dominate a market come in and sell crappy garbage junk that they can make a huge profit on because it doesn't kick in till way up there in the catastrophic level. So you're paying them all this money, and that's how they make their money.
Do you have a specific question? Because we're coming up at the top of the hour, real quick.
We need to throw out this corporate personhood, and how can we do this? Look, the majority.
I hear you,
Brad.
Let me get an answer. I hear you, pal. Let me get a thought from Ernie because we're coming up at the top of the hour. Thanks, AC. I appreciate your call, brother. So, what do we do? What's the best way to go to get rid of this corporate personhood once and for all, Ernie Canning?
Well, I think because we're not going to see a major change in the makeup of the court. Anytime soon. I mean, unfortunately, Sotomayor didn't even put that opinion in her in joining the dissenting opinion in it, and I don't think that it's going to come from the court. I think we need a constitutional amendment, but we need a major fundamental revolutionary change, peaceful revolutionary change by the people of this country. They need to understand that it isn't government per se that's the problem. It is corporations, and it is the power of billionaires that are creating the greatest division in wealth in the history of this country. We're in economic conditions that are tracking much of those that we haven't seen since the Great Depression. I wanted to add briefly, Brad, it was an update to my piece on the military.
And very quickly, only because I got about 20 seconds.
Right. The Boston Globe reported there was a Pentagon report that shows that there are more than 100 military contractors who committed civil or criminal fraud between 2007 and 2009, and yet billions of dollars continue to flow to those same contractors. So you look at the problem with Clarence Thomas, you look across the board at torture, you look at everything else. We do not have a government of laws, and that's where the problem lies.
It sure does, and the question remains, what will we do about it? The makeup of the court, well, you know, if we had a real media out there, the makeup of the court could change because they would look at what Clarence Thomas did and said, you know what? This guy not only doesn't belong on the courts, he belongs in jail. Hey, Ernie, great talking to you, sir. Thank you always for your contributions at bradblog.com. They're one of the highlights, if you ask me. Thanks for all the work that you're doing, brother. I really appreciate it, and thanks for joining us tonight.
My pleasure, Brad.
All right, much more straight ahead, including your calls. If you're on the line, hang on there. Otherwise, give us a shout, 877-520-1150. These are your public airwaves. Use them or lose them more than you already have. Stay with us.